What's up, everybody? This is Nick Brent. Thanks for joining us for a Circuit Rider podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions movement in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. You are listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. Anyways, I have the privilege of introducing a good friend of ours, Aaron Costello. I don't know if I've ever said your last name. I don't know if I've ever pronounced it right.
Costello.
I've called you like Costello, Costello. Costello. Okay, he's part of One Voice. So you guys may not know, but raise your hand in here if you're on staff with One Voice. Woo! Shout out One Voice. Let's give One Voice a hand, man. Guys, that's the fun thing about Riders Youth Camp is it's a beautiful marriage between Circuit Riders and One Voice. And this morning, you guys are going to learn about something that we're, just really believing in called the Jesus Clubs. Everybody say the Jesus Clubs. Okay, our heart for you guys at this camp is not that you just would have a 1 week high where you're stoked and you get excited about God, but then you go home and nothing changes. Right, our heart is, again, and we've said it all week, is that we believe you guys are leaders. We believe you guys are born with a purpose and with a calling on your lives, and we want to see you guys live out that calling on your life. And so Aaron is going to kind of just bring in some practical, some vision behind actually what we are even partnering with this year, and just inviting you guys into, man, just what God's doing all across America. It's something we get to do together. So I'm super stoked for just what Aaron is going to be talking about. He's going to be here this morning as well as tomorrow morning to take us into some practicals. So Jesus, thank you for Aaron. God, we thank you for everything you're going to speak. And we just are excited for what you have. So guys, let's give it up for Aaron. Woo! Let's go, bro. Take it away.
Thank you, Chip. Guys, Chip grew up not far from me, although we didn't know each other in Virginia. Anybody from Virginia in here? Anybody? Woo! Let's go. All right. Guys, can we give it up for Chip and KJ? Come on. Woo! You guys are seriously blessed to have such incredible camp leaders that burn for Jesus. Chip and KJ have been a tremendous blessing in my life on so many levels. When I felt the call of God on my life to like do this like tour thing for Gen Z, Chip and KJ literally like held my hand and like helped the whole thing happen and helped me like find like what God was saying. So anyways, they're amazing. And I believe this camp is them doing that very thing for you. You guys are going to find your voice, the message that God has put on your life and your calling, and get activated in it. So anyways, let me grab my Bible right here. How many of you guys got your Bible with you? Yes? Bust it out. If you got actual paper Bible, even better. Bust it out. If you're going to use the Bible on your phone, maybe put on Do Not Disturb or something. Well, guys, my name is Aaron. Like I said, grew up in Virginia. I'm a part of One Voice, and One Voice, we do this thing called the Jesus Clubs, where we train and activate students to reach their schools with a Jesus Club. It was founded by an incredible man of God, Brian Barcelona. Have you guys met Brian? You guys know Brian? Brian is amazing. I love him to death. His wife, Marcella, they founded One Voice. And it is such an honor and a privilege to get to roll with such an epic crew and some of the Jesus Club staff that are here. But before I dive in to telling you about the practicals of Jesus Clubs, I felt like God wants to show us something about Jesus. And it's his heart for your generation. I feel like today, right now, God wants to have much more than just a practical training session, but God wants you to have an encounter with his heart for your peers. Because one of the worst motivators for you reaching your school is you feeling like you have to reach your school because it's the right thing to do. One of the worst motivators for you reaching your school is feeling like it's the thing that you should do. And I love this camp because we're all about like the courageous heart of Christ. And I believe right now, God wants to give you the best motivator for you reaching your school, which is the blazing, burning heart of God for the dead students that sit on your right and your left, day after day after day, that are longing for one encounter with the man that will change their life forever, and it's Jesus. What's going to keep your flame burning is you staying close to the man that's on fire. The Bible says he's fire from the waist up and fire from the waist down. That his eyes are like fire and everything around him is on fire. I just realized I was yelling for a long time. Got quiet. You know, I just want to read this. This is Revelation chapter 1. Can you guys close your eyes? This is John. He wrote the book of Revelation. He got caught up into heaven through an open door. And he says this: "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man. He was clothed with a garment down to his feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice was as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in all of its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though I was dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death.'" You know who has the keys for everything that's going on in your school? How many of you are tired of school shootings? How many of you are tired of reading the news and seeing another teenager take their life because of suicide? There is a man that holds the keys to death in Hades. It's Jesus. And he's the one that says, "I've given you authority. I've given you the keys of David to open the doors that no one can shut and shut doors that no one can open, to loose things," all of that. He's the one that this generation is aching and groaning for. And what your campus needs is not another Christian that feels pressured that they have to do something to prove that they're a real Christian and prove that they love God by trying to start something at your school. What your school needs is somebody that is carrying the heart of God for your campus and for your peers. And that's why we're here. That's why we're going to do a Jesus Club training. Not just so that you can have tools. If all you get is tools, we will have failed. You guys are getting amazing tools. I'm saying that on behalf of the Jesus Clubs. I mean, Circuit Riders, you guys are giving these kids so much heart. But I'm saying in these moments where we're training Jesus Clubs, if all you get is a couple tools, but not the burning heart of God for your generation, I will have blown it. Can we pray? Just right now, I just want you to say, "God, in these moments right now, would you encounter my heart with your heart?" Come on, just ask him. Don't be afraid to pray out loud. "Jesus, God, I pray right now that you would fill us with your heart. Jesus, what do you feel about my high school? Jesus, what are you saying about my campus? Jesus, what do you feel about my friends? God, I want to feel your burning heart for my school, for my family, for my friends. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would reveal the heart of Jesus. God, as I share a few stories, as we talk and go over how to reach campuses and different stuff, God, I pray these students here in this room would leave more than knowing a few strategies, but knowing the man that is burning and on fire for them and for their schools. So Jesus, I ask that you would walk into the room today and encounter us with your heart for Gen Z. In Jesus' name. You know, Jesus wants to walk onto your campus with you. Just for anybody that was already feeling nervousness of like, I'm going to go, I'm going to reach my peers. You're not going alone. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always. And he wants to step right onto your campus with you. You know, one of the things that I love about the Jesus Clubs is that it's just so in your face and what it is. In Virginia, we launched a bunch of Jesus Clubs in some different schools. I'm going to tell you a few stories. But I would always tell my team and tell the students, if there's one thing that a student should get at Jesus Club, it's an encounter with Jesus. If Jesus isn't at Jesus Club, then we're marketing something fake. But here's the good news is Jesus is in you. And that's why he wants to give you his heart. This isn't even something that we need to like cry out and press in for. Heaven is literally looking for God's looking for who he can pour his heart out on. One of the most dangerous prayers you can pray is, God, give me your heart. You know, I want to, I'm going to punt some of this to tomorrow. You know, there was a moment just like this at a camp a few years ago in Virginia. And Lord, there was a camp and there was a young girl named Peyton. She was in a camp really similar to this, felt a stirring in her heart to reach her school for Jesus. And she said, yes. I want to tell you, one of the most powerful things that you can say to God is yes. And then wake up the next day and say yes. And then wake up the next day and say yes. And so this girl, Peyton, she was 16 years old. She was like a sophomore, I don't know what, and maybe a freshman in high school. She was not the cool kid. Are any of you guys the coolest kid at your school? How many of you guys go to high school? High school, all right? How many of you guys in middle school? Okay, amazing. Any homeschool? All right, amazing, amazing. Well, God's going to use you too, all right? So just don't, when I say reach your campus, don't disqualify yourself, because you can be a missionary to high schools in your generation too. So this young girl named Peyton, okay, she was not the cool kid. She by no means qualified as like an influential person on campus. Pretty much no one knew her. She like had no circle of influence. She had like a couple friends. She was just blending in the background on her campus. But one day, God met her at a camp just like this and said, I want you to reach your school. She came to me and she said, Aaron, I felt like God wants me to reach my campus. And I was like, all right, let's go. And so she spent, I kid you not, one entire school year asking teacher after teacher after teacher about opening a Jesus Club on her campus. Every teacher said no, no, no. Even the principal was like, Jesus Club? No, no. Until one day, she met the seventh teacher that she asked. And the teacher was like, let's do it. And after a year, I tell you, I just blazed past that. Keeping your yes after the first no that comes at you is so important. And then keeping your yes after the second no that comes at you is so important. And then keeping your yes after the third no that comes at you. Just like that story about the ships, right? You know, you're going around, that was told earlier about going around like, man, did I really hear? Are we going there? You know, and then all of a sudden, bam, we finally open up this Jesus Club on this campus. I tell you what, the first day of club, it was like wrestling with a principality, okay? We show up on campus. That morning, the cafeteria lady freaks out on us because nobody's coming to the cafeteria because everybody wants to come to the Jesus Club. So all the kids that were going to come by lunch aren't showing up in the cafeteria. The cafeteria lady comes walking down the hall, ripping every Jesus Club poster off the walls, comes barging into the auditorium that's packed out with students, and she has a ball of torn up Jesus Club posters. She comes right up to my face, shakes the ripped up posters in my face, and says, "You can't do this!" Literally screams at me. Now, I was like, literally, that's not even a joke. And I was like, let's go talk to the principal. And the whole way down to the principal's office, I'm like, shut up, about Jesus, break in. You know, that day, 300 students came to club. 130 kids gave their lives to Jesus. It sparked a revival on that campus. The varsity football player, his knee got healed. He testified in front of the whole Jesus Club. We ended up doing baptisms on that campus. By the end of the year, one of the students had cuts on his hands when we dumped him into the water. When we pulled him out of the water, all of his cuts were gone. The principal of that school came up and he said, "Aaron, I don't know if you know this, but this is a violent school." He said, "We have fights on campus every single day of the year." And he said, "From the day that the Jesus Club started at this campus, we have not had a single fight for months." For months. Guys, the gospel is powerful. There was a young girl, we just talked about forgiveness. It was so beautiful. This young girl was bound with rage towards her dad for what her dad had done to her. Bound with rage. We literally in the Jesus Club sharing the same stuff that you're hearing here at camp. Students, you can literally bust out your Salvation Encounter manual, go back to your school and preach it, right? So we're literally talking about unforgiveness. This girl gets wrecked. That was the very day that we're coming to do baptisms. She calls her dad and says, "Dad, I'm getting baptized today. We haven't talked in a really long time, but it would mean the world if you came and watched me get baptized and give my life to Jesus." They reconcile on the phone. Her dad drives all the way to the school for baptisms and is up in the very front with his phone out, videoing his daughter getting baptized and weeping. And weeping and weeping. Guys, where did it all start? One moment at camp where a little girl said yes. Wasn't even popular. Wasn't even like a big dog on her campus. She spent an entire year knocking on the door until it finally opened. I'm telling you, if just a handful of you grabbed a hold of the heart of God and said yes and didn't let go, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of souls attached to your yes coming out of this camp. And I'm not joking. We literally, some of our students, I don't know if you guys have done Words of Knowledge yet at this camp, probably will. Maybe you guys have seen some, we've seen healing already. Students literally just at Jesus Club lined up, like got up on the stage and they're just like, "Lord, tell us," you know, auditorium's full of a few hundred kids. They're just like, "Lord, tell us who's got some sickness." And they're like, "Hey, right shoulder, left ear, you know, inside of the ankle." And just hands going up all over the auditorium. And healings just happening one after another in an auditorium. Simple obedience. I'll tell you what, there is one thing that will make the gospel start spreading like crazy on campus. And it's one student that steps out in boldness to see God move. I tell you what, we saw one healing on campus, and within a matter of a couple days, every kid on campus knew who the Jesus Club was. and knew what it was about, and that Jesus was actually there touching people. Guys, this can be, like you said, this can be so much more than just a camp high. You know, Holy Spirit, there was another girl, it was her senior year. Again, not popular. She was actually kind of one of the like quirky drama kids, okay? You know what I'm talking about? Some of you guys are in there. Be proud, awesome, not quirky. Like she was just, you know, I love drama kids, okay? So anyways, she was graduating. It was her senior year. It was about a month left of school when God gripped her heart and said, reach your campus. Okay? She could have easily said, oh, I've only got a month left of school. I'm not going to do this. But no, she said yes. Went to her principal. Said, can we open a Jesus club? The principal said no. He was like, no way. And so the girl said, well, hey, can we meet with you one more time and just like share a little bit more? And he was like, you know what? You can meet with me again, but my answer is going to be the same. There will be no Jesus club at Riverbend High School. And I was like, tell him we'll take the meeting, you know? And we fasted. I said, let's call a fast. Let's pray for God to turn his heart. We've seen God do this throughout the scriptures. Maybe he'll do it here in this case. So we fast and pray. About a week and a half later, we go meet with the principal. He has completely changed his mind. And he was like, you know what? Let's do a Jesus club at Riverbend. You guys can open it. Let's start it. And a couple weeks later, on the last day of school, like the last day of school before the campus closed for the summer, the Jesus Club launched. The last day that this senior girl had to impact her campus, we show up at the auditorium and the principal is the one that shows up, sets up tables for them to hand out pizza, sets up the projector, and runs sound for the Jesus Club. The very person that was like, no Jesus Club on this campus. Guys, and tell me what? Your voice matters before God. I'm telling you, your voice matters before God. He listens to you. If you and your friends would fast and pray for your school, nothing is impossible. 120 kids came to that Jesus Club that day, and 60 kids gave their lives to Jesus. On the last day of school. The next year, a kid that got wrecked in that first Jesus Club came back and started it back up again. We reached 450 students coming to Jesus Club on a regular basis in that high school. We saw hundreds saved. I'm sharing these stories just to give you, like, sometimes you see the revival things and it's like, oh, that's like out there. No, it's not out there. It starts in a little moment like this, where God gets a hold of your heart and you get a hold of his, and then everything changes. You know, at the one high school where I said we did baptisms, the newspaper reported it. The newspaper showed up because there were like baptisms on a high school campus. One teacher tipped them off. They were like, baptisms on a high school campus? Is this legal? Like, we got to show up and get this on film. They show up, they get it on film, they write an article, publish it. It goes all across the country. Literally, I was getting calls from pastors at like conferences that were like this like Foursquare denomination pastors leaders conference, showed it to 4,000 of their leaders, the news article. I got a picture of the news article up on their like screen at their like annual leaders conference. A week later, I'm like, what is happening? An atheist group gets the article and they decide to file a lawsuit against us. And they release a cease and desist order to the Jesus Club at this campus. And their lawyers are coming after the teacher sponsor, after the students, after us, after the school district. But you know what happens? The whole case gets thrown out because they were like, this is legal. They're like, this is legal. This is student-led. There's nothing to file a lawsuit against. And what happened through that was this crazy boldness that filled us
to say, we're not even sneaking the gospel in the back door.
Wow.
This is legal.
Wow.
I want to tell you, whoever told you that God got kicked out of schools lied to you.
Yes.
Whoever told you that the gospel is illegal on campuses lied to you.
Yes.
Whoever told you that prayer wasn't allowed on schools, they lied to you.
Yeah.
You can preach the gospel at your campus.
Yes.
I've seen it hold up against a lawsuit.
Yeah.
You can do it. And I'll tell you, that was where that one little girl said yes, and the story went all across the nation. We began to get reports from kids in school districts like up in Michigan, in Washington, in Florida. They were opening clubs and reaching their schools because they saw the faith of this one little girl that said yes from a youth camp just like this. Guys, anything is possible. But here's the thing. I don't want you to hear this and just be like, oh wow, I want to be a really good Christian. And I want to be famous. And I want to be the inspiring one. And I want people to tell stories about me. I mean, that's awesome. Great. Like, have a dream for, like, you know, like crazy impact and influence in your generation. That's awesome. But I want you to understand Jesus' heart is blazing for this. He is just waiting for someone to step out of the norm. He's just waiting for somebody that's got a big enough yes in their heart to step out and change history. Because Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth it. Jesus is beautiful. One glimpse of him will change everything for your campus. What do you guys want to see change in your school? What's something you want to see change on your campus? Huh? Violence. What's something else? The violence. Spirit of lust.
Addiction.
Drugs.
Lame
Christianity. Bland Christianity.
Religious spirit.
Lukewarmness.
Self-identity.
Self-identity.
Depression.
False Christianity. Comparison.
Suicide.
Labels. Anxiety.
Gossip.
Pride. Hypocriticalness, if that's a word.
It is.
Sorry, you didn't say hypocritical. Guys, you know who has the keys to all of this? Jesus. And you now. Can you imagine hanging out in a prison with the keys dangling on your waist and just being like, man, God, my school's so messed up. Man, God, my peers, look at how trapped they are. Man, God, I'm even uncomfortable being here. I can't wait to graduate. God, would you just help me make it through my high school years? I just want to get by. Lord, I'm just trying to get some good grades. While the keys are just jingling right there. Now, I'm not trying to guilt you. I want you to understand that there is a man that is looking at every single one of your friends that are in bondage with eyes that are burning with fire for them. He is the one that's worthy of them getting free.
Yes.
He's the one that's worthy of their love and their affection. Jesus is worthy of the love of every young Gen Z student in every campus in this nation.
Yes.
And across the world.
Test. All right, we're back. I'm not yelling at you guys. Whoa, we got loud. I'm not yelling at you guys. If you could catch a glimpse of the burning heart of God, you would go to whatever lengths it took to reach your school. And it wouldn't be just because you think KJ would be proud of you, although she absolutely will. It isn't just so that you can prove that, oh yeah, I overcame the camp high and I actually did something. No, it's because that man is infinitely worthy. That man is infinitely beautiful. That man deserves everything. And he's got the keys and he's given them to you. I could not imagine if I was a citizen of North Korea and I had 4 years to live in North Korea with a permission slip that told me I was allowed to preach the gospel there. Some of you guys may not know, North Korea is a closed nation. Like, the gospel is illegal there. But I could not imagine if I lived there for 4 years and had a note saying, I'm allowed to preach the gospel. I could not imagine spending 4 years just trying to get by when I've got the access. Here's the thing. You are the one that has access to your school. You might be looking around wondering, man, God, I just really hope you touch your school. Well, you know what? God's looking at you. Not with some like, oh, you better do something or else I'm going to be angry at you. No. He's put you there for a reason. I want to tell you this. You were born in Generation Z for a purpose. You were born in this hour for a reason. It's not an accident that you were born. You're not an accident. God wrote every day of your story before any one of your days began. He knew you in your mother's womb. He knew what campus you would go to. He knew what friends you would have. And he knows that he is inside of you and anything is possible if you'll believe. You know, you know what was pretty cool? You know that girl, said the name's Peyton. We opened up the Jesus Club that day. 300 kids came. 130 gave their lives to Jesus. You know what I felt like the Lord was shouting at us that day? Right as I stepped onto campus, I pulled out my phone and I saw breaking news. Billy Graham just died. And that morning I had been praying. And I was telling God, I was like, Jesus, God, we've been trying for a year or two just to get on this campus. Peyton has been asking so many teachers, and all we keep getting is no's. But here we are, and we're launching the club today. God, if you would just save one student, it would be worth it. And that, how many of you, that sounds like a good prayer, right? I thought that was a good prayer. Probably shed a few tears when I prayed it too. God rebuked me. Gently. But he rebuked me. And he said, Aaron, that's a really cute prayer. But can you carry my heart for a few more than one? Can you actually believe with me for a generation to be saved? Could you believe with me for hundreds in the school to get saved? Because while the one matters, I also didn't just send you here for one.
Come on. Yeah.
And I want you to step into a greater faith that I am going to save a generation. Yeah. And when I showed up on campus and I saw Billy Graham just die, I felt an injection of faith that God was going to release the mantle of evangelism on the next generation way more than even Billy Graham saw. And not just on one person, but on a whole generation of evangelists. And I believe that that's you guys here in the room. If you'll say yes, if you'll take it up. It's crazy too, because years later I found out that Chip and some of the squad that morning were also seeing revival blow up in a school. Guys, but I'm telling you, you were born in this generation for a purpose and a reason. I want to end with this story and then we're just going to pray. In 2015, I was pretty burnt out. I'd been a youth pastor for years. I had been trying to convince kids to reach their schools with the pressure. Like, come on, you got to do something. Come on, you're saved and your campus isn't. What are you doing? You know, I was burnt out. I was tired. And so I put in my notice to my pastors. I said, hey, I'm quitting. I'm done being a youth pastor. And they interviewed a whole bunch of people. Nobody said yes to the job. I eventually just had to say, guys, I'm sorry that you haven't found a replacement, but I'm just going to have to step out. And I said, I'll lead the summer youth camp. And after that, I'm done. And so summer youth camp comes around. I'm excited because I'm about to get free from having to care about Gen Z. Like, seriously, that's how dead my heart was. Camp goes by, each day is like pretty cool, you know, typical camp stuff. On the last day of camp, I stand up to just preach the gospel. And I just preach the simple gospel. A few kids got saved. And I was like, all right, guys, raise your hands. You know, if you want to give your life to Jesus, and if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just go ahead and stand up. A few kids stand up, and I'm like, all right, come on up to the front. Well, one of the girls was a girl from inner city in Jersey. She had never been to church in her life. She had never read the Bible before coming to this camp. And she gives her life to the Lord, and I'm like, wow, this is awesome. And she's standing right here. They line up, you know, like maybe you guys lined up last night for the baptism. I don't know. I'm just guessing, maybe. But we start praying. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, would you just come right now and just touch these students? And we start laying hands, and I lay my hands on the first kid. And this girl down at the end, without anybody laying a hand on her, starts going, shh! Like, literally, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's manifesting a demon. Like, here we go. Dive in. Some deliverance, you know? I was like, this would be about the time, you know, she got saved or praying for the Holy Spirit, whatever. So some of our team takes her out. And we keep praying for kids. And then all of a sudden, this girl comes back in. And I'm like, telling my staff, I'm like, why are you bringing her back in? And she opens her mouth and she begins to tell us what happened. And she said, I was standing in the line waiting to get prayer. And I saw a man walk through the door. The door was closed. I saw a man walk through the door. And he was shining. And he walked down the line of people. And he put his hand on me. And that's when I went berserk. Now, I'm not here trying to tell you like spooky ghost stories. That's not what this is. She had an encounter with Jesus. As soon as she opens her mouth, boom! It was like a bomb went off in the room. Not a literal sound. But suddenly, everybody's laying on the floor weeping. Having encounters, seeing eyes of fire. This girl from Jersey starts describing, I saw somebody with eyes and they looked like they had like burning like little torches inside of them. And his hair was glowing and his whole body was shining like the sun. And I'm like, what the heck is happening right now? Kids start just groaning in prayer for their schools to be saved. And I'm like, what is happening right now? And I'm starting to get angry because I'm like, God, why are you showing up like this on my last day? Like, I've been praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit for a long time. And like, really, on my last day, you're going to show up like this? And so I go to the back of the, I go to the back corner and I cross my arms. Any of you guys ever sat in a church meeting like that? In the back with your arms crossed? I'm just sitting back there. And like lightning, all of a sudden, this impulse went through my body. I couldn't control. And I jump up onto my feet and I start screaming as all these kids are encountering Jesus, seeing Jesus, giving their lives to the Lord, getting filled with the Holy Spirit, repenting of sin. I jump up and I start screaming at the top of my lungs. What God's doing in this room, He's going to do in schools all across America. What God's doing in this room, He's going to do in gymnasiums all across America. And I just start yelling and screaming this and prophesying it. And I'm like, what am I saying right now? Like, literally, my mind is like, I don't want anything to do with this. My heart was so dead. And I sit back down and I'm like, God, I've never like had an impulse like that where you just like took over my mouth for a second. You know, is what it felt like. And I'm sitting there and I just dismiss all the kids and I'm like, all right, everybody go down to the prayer room and just journal about what happened. You know, because I don't know what to do. And everybody leaves the room and I just lay down on the floor and I begin to weep. Because I could feel the deadness of my heart, even with the presence of God in the room. And it was like all of a sudden, I'm not trying to like get weird and mystical. Sorry, Chip and KJ, if this is getting swirly. Okay. But all of a sudden, it was like 1,000 pounds of pressure began to just slam down on top of me. And I couldn't breathe. And suddenly I could see through my eyelids and there were these two blazing, glowing feet like burnished bronze right in front of my face. And I was struggling. I was so aware of my sin, so aware of my dead heart that I'm trying to get the words out. Jesus, don't kill me. Because I was terrified. You know where John said I fell at his feet as though dead? That's what I felt like. I'm trying to get the words out. Don't kill me. But I can't speak. And all of a sudden, as clear as day, in my heart, not external, in my heart, I hear, Aaron, go to the high schools. And then whew, the pressure comes off. And I can't see the feet anymore. And I just laid there and wept. And wept. And wept. And I said, yes. I said, yes, Jesus. And it was like this rock. It was like this heavy stone got pulled out of my chest. And God put what he felt inside of there. And I just laid there for about an hour. And I just cried. Feeling this like tenderness and compassion for the high schools of America. For the state of a lost generation that's harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You guys know Matthew 9 before Jesus said, the harvest is ripe but the laborers are few. It says he looked out over the crowds and he saw them and felt compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And I just believe in this hour as we're looking out over Gen Z. This generation is harassed and helpless. They're the most over-defined generation. Everybody's trying to tell them something different about who they are, and they are looking for shepherds. And I want to put this into your mind. What God said when he said, pray the Lord of the harvest would send laborers. He wasn't just asking for these crazy, bold, raw leaders, although he absolutely is looking for those. He's actually looking for who's going to carry the heart of a shepherd with compassion for these harassed and helpless people. Can you guys just close your eyes and let's pray. If you want the heart of God for your school, I want you to just stand up and I'm just going to pray for you. If you're saying, God, I want you to give me your heart for my campus, you don't have to have an encounter like I did. Guys, I pray almost that you don't. I feel like God gave me that encounter because I was in so much rebellion. If he didn't show up and shock me like that, I don't know where my life would be right now. So you don't have to have a crazy mystical moment. It can be like that girl Peyton that's just a simple yes that you don't give up on. But just if you want, you can just put your hands out like you're receiving a gift, and I'm just going to pray for you real quick. Jesus, I ask that you would give these students your heart for their generation. Jesus, I ask that you would give these students your heart for their generation. God, I ask that you would give them tears for their high school. God, I ask you would give them tears for their middle school. God, I pray that they would be those shepherd laborers that you are thrusting into the harvest of the harassed and helpless people. into a harassed and helpless generation, that these ones would be shepherd laborers carrying your burning heart for Generation Z. You just ask him for a minute in your own words. You can just say, Jesus, give me your heart. And I just believe God is, you may not feel anything. You don't have to cry, okay? I'm not like, this is not an emotional, like you've got to have an experience. Literally, God could touch your heart with enough faith to say yes, and that little burning coal could be everything. So Jesus, just ask him, say, Jesus, show me what you feel for my soul. Show me what you feel for my campus. And I want you to pray this. Say, Jesus, show me your beauty. Jesus, show me your worth. Show me your eyes of fire that burn with love for me and my generation. Show me your face. Show my generation your face.
Show my generation your face.
Give me your heart.
Give me your heart.
Thank you, God. I just want to wait for 30 seconds. We're just going to wait on the Lord. He might even start to give you just a download right now. For your school, for your friends, you might start seeing faces in your mind. You might start seeing rooms in your school in your mind. You might start seeing something about Jesus. God, I just ask you right now for a spirit of revelation. I'm just going to wait on the Lord just 30 more seconds. Just a little longer, just a tiny bit. You say, Jesus, show me what you see. Jesus, I ask for this crew here. God, I pray over these next days at camp that you would take them into a throne room encounter with your beauty and with your burning heart. God, I pray whatever it looks like doesn't have to be a crazy, swirly experience. God, but I pray that you would impart to them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Enlighten the eyes of their understanding, that they would know the hope of their calling. I pray that they would see you. They would lay a hold of your heart. In Jesus' name, I just break off any shame of comparison of just anybody that's wondering whether they're even good enough to reach their campus. You just break off shame right now in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. It's the Lord that qualifies you. God, I pray anyone in here that is afraid to dream because they feel like they aren't good enough, or they don't have anything to give. God, I thank you that it's you who gives. if anybody's feeling just a burning on their heart to pray something out, just pray it out. If you're feeling like something for your school or something that the Lord is showing you, or just, I hope this is all right, just like a minute or two. If you feel like, man, I just feel like the Lord's saying this for my school, or if you just want to let out like a God touch my whatever, if you feel it, we're just going to wait on the Lord just another moment. And if you feel something, feel free to pray out.
I feel like what Aaron's saying is not just for our schools, but also just for our generation. And so I feel like some of you guys are sitting down because you're like, I don't know if I have a heart for my school. But I believe that all of us carry a heart for our generation. Like, we wouldn't be here if we didn't carry a heart for our generation. And so if you're just like, if you're sitting down because you don't feel like you have a heart for your school, you don't know how to reach your school, and that doesn't really interest you, don't count yourself out of this moment. Don't disengage your heart. Because I believe that God actually wants to use all of us in this room to reach somebody in our generation, to reach one of our friends, to reach our community, to reach whoever it is. Maybe you're homeschooled and you feel called to go back to your youth group and bring a fresh fire and awakening to your youth group. Maybe you feel called to go help your family become restored and come be a catalyst in your family. That's how God used me when I first encountered the Holy Spirit. It was for my family. And so I just want to ask right now, there's no pressure, obviously, to stand up. But if you're like, I don't know if I have a heart for my school, but I want to have a heart for my school. I want to have a heart for my generation. I want you guys to stand up too. And I just want anyone who feels any prayer on their heart. It doesn't have to just be for your school. It can be for your generation. It could be for a specific demographic. It could be for the LGBTQ community. It could be for the transgender community. It could be for minorities. It could be for orphans and widows. It could be for the foster care system. It could be for anything, anything that you feel passion for. It could be reaching inner cities. It could be anything. If you have a burning in your heart just to see a people group reached, stand up right now. And I just want to invite every single person in here. We're not going to rush through this moment because this is so key. And I really do believe that God wants to put a burning in our hearts. A burning in our hearts. But if we don't open up our mouths and ask Him for it, we might not get the burning that we want. So right now, if you feel a prayer on your heart, release it. I know Kendra does. Kendra came up to me earlier and she's like, we need to pray for our schools. Kendra, why don't you just lead us out right now? Pray for your school.
Thanks for listening to a Circle Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.